In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Friday, the 9th of February. Glad to have you with us, everybody. I think, honestly, we are just going to get right to it because, holy cow, what a week, right? Here to dissect the 5 days gone by are Kate Davidson from The Wall Street Journal, also Sheila Kolhatkar from The New Yorker magazine. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
Hi, Kai.
So, Sheila, let me ask you first. With the tax bill and its fiscal stimulus, right, all the deficit spending we're doing, the new budget bill with its debt, and the prospect of inflation from the wages report that came out on Friday, is this volatility, is this unease the new normal, do you think? Test my premise.
Well, personally, I take a little satisfaction when the market sort of reminds us that it does not only have an up mode.
Right.
It can also go down. I think people tend to get a little complacent when it's just sort of shooting up all the time and everyone feels just happy and wealthy. And I think there's some signs that the investor class may be a little worried about the stewardship of the economy under the Trump administration. And although the administration has done very stimulating things like these huge corporate tax cuts, you know, there's concern among economists that they have not been fiscally responsible, and the market seems to be reacting to that.
Well, so, Kate, let's talk about that for a second, right? Because we have an economy basically at full employment. It is growing at 2.3-ish something percent. We are piling on money. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, this is a really important question, Kai, and I think it's one that economists and policymakers, say at the Fed, are really looking at carefully. And the honest answer is we just don't know. I mean, we haven't seen a big stimulus like this so late in an economic expansion. You know, normally we'd see it earlier when the economy is not doing so well. But as you pointed out, we're close to full employment. We're growing at sort of this low and steady pace that obviously Republicans have said they want to raise higher. But there's a lot of economists think that we're close to, the economy is operating at close to its full potential already. So boosting growth now through all of this stimulus could start to push up inflation. You know, wages will start to rise, prices will go up, and that's where things get risky, right?
Yeah.
You know, the Fed could respond to that. Interest rates could go higher. That could tip us into a recession. So we don't really know what's going to happen.
Sheila, I want to be clear here. You know, when the White House has been asked the past couple of days, Secretary Mnuchin said it on Friday and Raj Shah said it yesterday in the briefing room, the economic fundamentals in this economy are strong. We ought to be clear about that.
I think everyone agrees the numbers look very good. The economy is in its ninth year of a recovery, and unemployment is just over 4%. That's all very positive. However, there are many economists who feel that this is an opportunity to kind of get the house in order and to start to use some of that money to pay down debt, for example, rather than borrowing more when we don't necessarily need it. And then, of course, there's the question of what happens if there's another financial crisis, and no one knows if and when that will occur. But it doesn't leave the government a lot of room to maneuver to kind of boost the economy if things really start to slow down. So that is worrying to some.
Right. Well, so first of all, there is going to be another financial crisis, right? I mean, we don't know when, we don't know what it's going to be, but it's coming because they always do. Let me, Kate, just to Sheila's point on the debt and the amount of money we're piling on here. I want to play for you Senator Rand Paul on the floor of the Senate last night doing his you know, delay of the budget vote that got us that five-hour shutdown, whatever it was. Here he is talking to his colleagues last night on the Senate floor.
I want them to have to answer people at home who said, how come you were against President Obama's deficits, and then how come you're for Republican deficits? Isn't that the very definition of intellectual dishonesty?
Kate Davidson, discuss.
Well, I can tell you what fiscal hawks were saying in response to that clip, which is it's awfully rich for Rand Paul to be making that argument when he voted in support of this massive tax cut that is projected to add about $1 trillion to the deficit, even after accounting for the boost to economic growth. Now, if you step back and setting that aside for a moment, I mean, his overall point is, I think, perhaps that a lot of Republicans have reversed themselves on deficits. And I think that's basically right. A number of folks who have been committed for many years to fiscal restraint, you know, that is people who are outside of government looking in or thinking what is going on. You know, the Republican Party has talked for many, many years about spending restraint and balancing budgets. And now they're moving in this opposite direction. So I understand that was what Rand Paul was getting at. But I think these same people would argue, look, you're adding to the deficit. Tax cuts add to the deficit and you know, spending increases do. You know, one is not better or worse than the other. They both add to the deficit. So if you're supporting one or the other, you're still guilty.
Right. And votes matter. That's Kate Davidson of The Wall Street Journal and Sheila Kolhatkar at The New Yorker magazine. Thanks, you two.
Thanks.
All right. Have a nice weekend.